Okay, now that you've written your prerequisites and you have your list, your attitudes, your support systems in place, it's time to design your cold call and write your cold call script elements. These are the statements and questions along with the call flow that you're going to use to get your appointments. You can do this now because, as you recall, you've already put your support systems together, highlighted in green, such as your CRM and your phone system. You've got the right attitude and listening skills. You have your debugging and note-taking processes, and you've set up your management reporting system too. So from an infrastructure perspective, you're ready to make calls. You've also thought up a concrete step or two highlighted in yellow that you can ask your prospect to do in order to ensure that the process moves forward. And you've written the prerequisites you're going to need, such as your case histories and your EVC models, highlighted in blue, that enable you to write a few IBSs that can stimulate initial interest effectively when embedded in a proper call opening, while also providing you with a few send outs. But the most important thing you've done is understand how business decisions are made, whether to talk, meet, or buy, using a pro forma P&L or business case, which, as it turns out, you're actually going to populate with the prospect's own data that you're going to get from her when she answers your questions. We'll get more into that in a minute, but first let's go down a level of detail on the structure of the cold call. In brief, there are three phases to every cold call, separated by two branch points or events in the call that enable you to move from one phase to the next or not, depending on how effective you are at the execution of the previous phase. As you can see here, for the phases of the call, you have the following. You have the opening of the call, which is where you introduce yourself, you establish rapport, you deliver your IBS, you explain the purpose of the call, and you gain permission to ask questions. If you get the okay to ask questions, you can go on to the body of the call, where you can probe for needs, create urgency, and uncover benefits. If not, then you have to go back and re-earn the right to ask questions with a better IBS if you can. But if you uncover needs, create some urgency, and find some benefits in the body of the call, you can then go on to the close. If not, you have to keep probing for needs until you justify the meeting or the call gets terminated. But if you can get to the close, then you can confirm the next steps, including the concrete step and/or the appointment, write up your notes, and you're done. So let's take this down one more level of detail. As you can see now on this more detailed view of the call flow diagram, which you don't have to memorize, the process of uncovering needs and problems and justifying an appointment with a business decision maker on the basis of your potential ability to solve her problems and those of her peers, as we discussed before, is not exactly simple. If it were, of course, then you wouldn't be here because all those cold calling tips and tricks that you've learned over the years would have worked by now. But the fact of the matter is that persuading someone who doesn't know you, someone with other responsibilities and with work to do, to be interested in your offering and give you a few minutes of her time to discuss it often necessitates asking a lot of questions and a lot of types of questions. And it necessitates uncovering a lot of needs and problems in order to build that business case for meeting. The reason is that for many prospects, as we said before, their time is worth far more than their money, and there are a lot of reasons not to meet sitting there before you ever even picked up the phone. They have other things to do, and many people are just lazy or in denial. Add to that the time and cost associated with considering change, plus the anticipated cost of the potential change itself, and then throw in the potential for conflict if they're going to kick out an incumbent vendor or fire an in-house provider or change a process that's been working for years. Before you're through, it can seem as though you have an insurmountable hurdle to get over, one that's not going to be overcome with a justification that you're going to have a rep in the area or that you just wanted to drop a brochure off. Getting the prospect to reveal her various concerns and those of her company such that she would be motivated to meet with you on the basis of your potential ability to help and overcome all the factors that weigh against meeting can take a lot of probing and persuading, and you may have to uncover a lot of needs to tip the balance over. And none of this has anything whatsoever to do with you telling her about your product. We're going to show you an easy way to uncover these needs, at least conceptually, if not quite in practice. But the fact is that you're going to have to probe for needs, pains, problems, and unmet goals, both hers directly and of those who are impacted by her problems. Otherwise, you're not going to identify any potential problems you can solve. You're not going to be able to position your product as a potential solution, and you're not going to get the appointment. To set the stage for how to ask questions and what questions to ask, remember what we talked about before when we said how the decision maker has needs and goals, and that she also is dependent on other people problem solving their problems and achieving their goals, just as her downstream customers are dependent on her solving her problems and meeting her goals. All of these needs and goals, whether financial or operational, along with her associated consequences and benefits, are what you want to dig out with your questions, and they can all contribute to tipping the scale if you can bring them out. A good trick, if you need a crutch, is to focus on the people and not just the problems. But the goal of your questions is to bring these needs out. And by the way, doesn't this sort of remind you of the spider chart? Probing for needs and justifying a meeting, as you can see, basically involves asking the series of questions that you can see here. First of all, you're going to have to ask about her area of responsibility and qualify her just to see if she's the right person to even be talking to. If she is, then you're going to have to ask her questions about what some of her pains, goals, and challenges are, and where there might be gaps between where she is and where she wants to be, and areas for which she is responsible or on her performance metrics, and that you might be able to help with. Otherwise, you're not going to know where to dig further or be able to determine if she has any problems that you can solve. And of course, she's not going to have a reason to meet with you if you can't uncover at least a few needs. So then you have to ask her what the consequences or the so whats are of her problem, confirming that it's a problem and why it's a problem and what impact it has on her ability to meet her goals. You also want to expand the group of people who might be impacted by the issue by asking who cares kinds of questions, who's affected by the problem, and how does it impact them. Otherwise, she'll see the problems as being too politically insignificant to be worth solving and therefore not worth meeting about. You'll then have to ask questions and get her to tell you how much those problems are costing her and how her peers and her peers in actual dollars and in performance and how those costs add up over time in order to create some urgency. Otherwise, she may not be able to favorably weigh the value of meeting with you to the value of doing something else with her time. But even if you create with your questions the perception that the problems are costing her and other people money, and maybe a lot of it, she may still not want to meet because she's too caught up in whatever else she's doing that she thinks is more worthwhile. Consequently, you may also have to ask her how not having those problems anymore could benefit her and her stakeholders and her downstream customers, and especially how solving the problems could positively impact her P&L. Otherwise, the potential benefits of her meeting might not be clear enough to overcome her inertia or her natural reluctance to look outside the box for solutions. And so, as you can now see, you may have to take her through an entire logic sequence, making her more aware of her challenges, who they impact, what they cost, and how they affect other people, as well as make her aware of the benefits to her and her peer group and solving them in order to get the appointment. To be sure, this strategy may be designed for a worst-case scenario, but if you follow this process, identifying needs and problems, who's affected by them, what they're costing the different stakeholders, and how those costs add up over time, and you position the appointment as a step towards solving these problems and gaining those benefits, it's clearly going to be a great appointment. Wouldn't you agree? We're going to get into how to ask these questions in a moment, but first let's look at the image we need to get into our head about this process as you get started. The same image you want to get into hers by the time you're done. With that as an outline for your call, if you remember back a couple of slides ago when we were talking about how the decision makers make decisions and about how your value proposition is illustrated on the customer's P&L, you can now see the picture you want to paint in the prospect's mind with your questions. Specifically, how a small investment in time has the potential for a big payoff in improved financial and/or operational performance. In other words, assuming you articulated your value proposition in the way we talked about it before and illustrated it in something like this pro forma P&L that we discussed, what you basically want to do by asking your questions is get the prospect to see how our company's P&L can similarly be improved by your solutions, or more accurately, how she can put herself in a position to be able to achieve this higher level of performance by meeting with you. If you prefer, of course, you can use this type of image too, or instead, where you look at your impact on an operational basis rather than a purely financial one. In fact, you can even use a graphical format like this and get her to admit to having a gap between where she is and where she wants to be, and that she wants to close that gap, and that's why she'd be willing to meet with you. However you paint the mental picture, and we're going to use the operational view for the next few minutes, your singular goal on the call is to somehow get her to see that meeting with you can help solve problems that she wants to solve and deliver benefits that she wants to gain, and to help take her from where she is to where she wants to be. We're going to come back to this in a moment, but before we do it, may be helpful to show you just how compelling this approach can be and how serious some of these issues are that you're going to be talking about. Imagine, if you will, that you just delivered your IBS to a decision maker, and imagine that in it you talked about how you can triple their sales or increase their profitability by 500% or save them a couple of million dollars a year or whatever analogous large and positive impact your solutions can have. What do you think her boss would say if they found out that she blew you off? Now, you can't necessarily say that. If she's the CEO, then she doesn't have a boss, because we all know who rules the kingdom. The fact is that if your IBS is compelling, interesting, and irrelevant enough, like the one based on this model, then a qualified decision maker should be fired if they didn't at least give you a few minutes on the phone. So now imagine that if during your conversation you found out that their reps were generating half the leads they needed, or whatever the equivalent pain point is for your product, that their close rate was a third of what the company wanted, and that they were having to drop their prices 10% in order to win whatever business they were able to win, what sales VP, or your equivalent, wouldn't want to meet to discuss a solution that could fix these problems regardless of what that might ultimately cost? The VP of sales or any decision maker who would ignore this kind of opportunity should lose her job. Unless you think this is idle chest thumping, think again. We've seen it happen. That is, we've conducted thousands of calls like this, and every once in a while we do indeed get a prospect who, despite the fact that during the question we together uncovered hundreds of thousands of dollars or more in unnecessary costs and potential value, they opted not to meet. So what do we do? I'll tell you what we do. We call their boss, and we tell them about the problems we uncovered, and we tell them about the benefits they're leaving on the table, and they, of course, tell us that we should be talking to the VP of sales or whoever is the appropriate decision maker. And so we tell the boss that we talked to them and that they weren't interested. Now, we don't have hard statistics about what happens, because it doesn't happen all that often, but roughly a quarter of the time the boss tells the VP to meet with us and the call goes well. A quarter of the time the boss will meet with us directly and the call goes well. A quarter of the time the boss defers to the VP's judgment and we don't get the appointment. And a quarter of the time the VP is fired by the time we get there to meet with her replacement, with whom the call again goes well. The message is that if you do this right, if you have a vision of the positive operational and financial impacts of your solution, and if you can, by asking good questions, get the decision maker to see the value like this, you can get in the door virtually anytime you need new business. So now we can talk about exactly how to do it, how to ask questions that uncover the problems that your prospects are having, like with their revenues or their expenses or with their job performance or even with someone else's job performance. How to uncover the consequences of those problems, the stakeholders and other people who are impacted by the problems, the costs that are incurred as a result of the problems, and how those costs add up over time. How to ask questions that get the prospect to tell you what she would gain personally by a solution, and who else would benefit, and how they would benefit, so that she'll want to meet with you in order to hear more about how your solution, and maybe hopefully, can be acquired. So let's dig in. Once you've gotten past your opening based on a good IBS and gained permission to ask questions, you're ready to start probing for needs, building value, and driving the prospect towards the conclusion that you want her to reach, either to meet with you or at least to take some concrete step to move the process forward. To do this, though, you will need to ask her a few questions, and maybe quite a few, so that she'll come to the conclusion that she ought to meet with you. The immediate goal of the call, as you know, is to get her to put together a business case for meeting in her mind. This simply says that the value of meeting is measured by the potential of the meeting to reveal cost-saving or revenue-enhancing opportunities exceeds the cost of meeting as measured by the time, inconvenience, risk, and cost of talking about and exploring those issues. So you need to expect her to do some sort of calculation of that differential in her mind. That is, if you can get her to believe that the value of meeting is sufficiently greater than the cost of meeting, then she'll grant the appointment. In fact, if the differential is big enough, she'd be crazy not to meet. to demonstrate that the value of meeting is greater than the cost of meeting, we need to ask a particular series of questions introduced below. To help you visualize the process, we're going to use a graphical medical metaphor to illustrate the encounter as one where you, the doctor, are helping the prospect, the patient, come to terms with and do something about their needs. We'll go back over this in more detail later, but for now, follow along with your call flow diagram. We first ask permission to ask questions using a permission question, like, would it be okay if I ask you a couple of questions, so they'll allow us to probe for needs. We then ask what the prospect's area of responsibility is, with a qualification question such as, are you responsible for sales, in order to confirm that they're the right person to be talking to. We then ask what their goals and challenges are in the areas of interest, using a pain question such as, what are some of your goals and challenges with respect to sales, in order to start to identify problems that we might be able to solve. We then ask what happens if they can't meet their goals or overcome their challenges, with so what questions such as, if you can't make your sales objective, what happens? We do this in order to start to magnify the problems and make them seem bigger, more critical, and therefore more worth doing something about. We also ask who would be affected if they can't meet their goals or overcome their challenges, with who cares questions such as, who is impacted if you can't achieve your sales goals, in order to uncover other stakeholders we should talk to and any other costs that would further justify our solution. We then ask what costs are associated with or are a consequence of their not meeting their goals or overcoming their challenges, with cost questions like, if you can't achieve your sales objectives, what are some of the financial impacts on your company, in order to identify any costs we can help reduce. We then ask how all those costs accumulate over time with urgency questions, with costs like, how do those accumulate in the first month, and in the second month, and in the third month, and at what point do they become worth doing something about? But we don't want to leave the prospect feeling bad about things, so we next ask how a solution might benefit them personally, with the what's in it for you questions, such as, if you had a solution, how would that help you or your group? This starts to help them see the value of the solution in positive terms rather than in the negative terms associated with the problem. We then ask how a solution might benefit other stakeholders, with benefit questions like, if you had a solution, how would that benefit other groups in your organization, in order to add even more value to the solution. We then ask how a decision for our type of solution would be made, both in terms of the decision process and the decision criteria. We do this using decision questions like, what is the decision process for something like this? And what are the decision criteria, which help us understand what our next steps have to be in the process. Of course, we respond to any questions or concerns they have with rebuttal questions and make sure that we're meeting their conditions for moving forward. We then checkpoint to make sure we understand their needs, costs, benefits, and value that we uncovered, and that we haven't missed anything, using checkpoint questions such as, if I understand you correctly, these are your concerns, and this is what it's costing you. But if you had a solution, then this is what it would mean for you, correct? If they agree, then we close on a meaningful next step using a closing question that usually hinges on their taking a concrete step, that is, doing something to move the process forward towards a meeting or close, such as we agreed, you're going to fill out our online form detailing your requirements, and I'm going to have our rep review it before the call. Is that okay? If they agree to the appointment or to taking a concrete step that will lead to an appointment, we can move on to the close. Otherwise, if they'll let us, we'll have to go back and try to uncover more needs and more potential benefits and more value, and try again to tip the balance towards a meeting. As you can see, getting a commitment from a prospect to meet can entail asking a lot of questions. This is because you may have to probe in several areas to identify problems, and you may have to get the prospect to really elaborate on the consequences of those problems, both for them and their peers, and the benefits of solving them to both, in order to tip over the mental scale that justifies the meeting. By the same token, if you look at the accompanying pictures, you can perhaps begin to appreciate the storyline that these questions actually map out. It's a little less consequential than a medical diagnosis, but maybe not by that much. Maybe it's like, I call you up because I think you might have a problem I can help with, and I say something interesting that suggests to you that I may be someone that you should be talking to at least for a minute. You agree to chat for a minute. I ask you about your areas of responsibility and determine that you're likely someone I should be talking to. We figure out that you have a number of problems that I can potentially help with. We figure out that they're bad. We figure out that they affect other people. We figure out that they're costing you and these other people a lot of money, and that cost is increasing over time, and that you therefore need to solve these problems and solve them soon. We figure out that if we can help fix them, things would be a lot better for you. We also figure out that if we can fix them, things would be a lot better for other people too. We discuss a meeting to talk about how we might be able to solve those problems. We go over any other concerns you have. We confirm that you want to go forward with the meeting to consider fixing the problems with our help, including you doing something concrete to move the process forward. And finally, we pat ourselves on the back and go riding off into the sunset together, hopefully towards a solution. You can also, as we said before, look at what you're trying to do on the call from the perspective of the prospect's mental image of her pro forma P&L. Qualifying the prospect, asking what her responsibilities are, as you now know, is simply asking what lines on the P&L she's responsible for, say, like total revenue or sales expense in the case of our VP of sales. Asking her about her needs and problems is simply digging for gaps between where they are and where they want to be on their various performance reports. For our VP of sales, for example, if you asked how she's doing with respect to her sales goals, the question is likely to draw out her declining sales problem and the fact that gross profit is falling off a cliff. When you do this with your prospects, they'll tell you their problems too, which gives you something to sell to, of course. The P&L, as you now know, isn't the only place that problems show up. You could also ask how the decision maker or the company is doing on any of the performance metrics that your product or service can impact operationally, financially, or whatever. Thus, for our VP of sales, for example, we could ask about lead production, qualification rate, average revenue per sale, field sales expense, length of the sales cycle, or even close rate, even if it isn't a direct dollar-denominated problem. But it still counts towards justifying a meeting because eventually everything counts in dollars. But in fact, you already know what metrics you need to ask about because they're right on your EVC models, right? And of course, when you want to get the prospect to speculate how great life would be if her problems were solved, and you want to position your product as the answer, you simply have to ask how production, performance, or profitability would improve if they had a solution that can help based on similar improvements in performance that you enabled at your previous customers. She'll infer from your question, of course, that you can help, or at worst, you can just tell her. But by focusing on her needs and problems and on what it would mean if you could bend the curve, you connect to what's important to her while positioning a meeting with a sales rep as the next step in obtaining a solution. As you can see, from the prospect's perspective, it's all about moving the needle. It's all about improving the performance of the company's various assets, removing barriers to success, creating opportunities, and solving problems. When you're making the cold call, it's all about uncovering these problems in their performance and their consequences, identifying stakeholders and costs, forecasting benefits, and positioning a meeting to discuss how you can help as the next step in solving these problems and achieving success for the prospect. And the way you do that is through asking questions. With all this talk about what you can do for the prospect, though, we need to be clear about one thing, and that is to remind you that you're not selling the product on the cold call. You're selling the appointment to talk about it. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but notice that nowhere in our call flow did we talk about our features or how we work or what we actually do beyond what we said at the beginning of the call in our IBS. Leave talking about the product to the sales rep when he goes on the appointment. Your job is to uncover the needs and get the prospect to see how performance improvements that you can enable could help so you can build the perceived value of your solution. This positions your product as the solution without actually talking about how you do what you do. Leave that up to the rep. In other words, it's okay to say that your cold calling training can double the number of appointments the prospect will get or increase their close rate. It's not okay to explain the technique or even to tell them that it's 300 slides long. That's not to say that they don't care how you do what you do, quite the contrary. If you get the prospect all excited about how much you can help them improve their performance, of course, their natural reaction is going to be to want to know how you do it. That's the whole point. The problem is, if you tell them on the phone or even send them the information that describes your solution, then there's no reason for them to give you the appointment. They'll learn what they need to learn and probably decide not to buy because no one is there to finish the sell cycle. The fact is that more appointments have been lost to the sin of providing too much information than has ever been booked in the history of cold calling. In short, it's you have a problem, we can help, not you have a problem, we can help, and here's how.